Hello and welcome to London Insurance Life, an industry for everyone. My name is Annabelle Baker and I am one of London Insurance Life's 2021 bursary winners. I am passionate about making a career in insurance more accessible to everyone, no matter your background or the route you choose to take into the industry. And this podcast is about just that. Each podcast, I will have a chat with a different guest about their experience of the London market and any advice they may have for how to get a role in the industry. Today, I'm kindly joined by Danny Russo, who's an underwriting assistant at Markel. Welcome.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not bad, thank you. You enjoying being back at work?
Oh, I love being back at work. Yeah, I've missed interacting with people, so it's nice to be back and seeing some faces.
So thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I thought it'd be nice to start right at the beginning, before you set foot in the London insurance market. So what subjects did you study at school for A-levels?
So I didn't take anything that was remotely related to insurance because I was going to go down the media route. But I took drama, film studies and politics. And then I was doing my AS and I was like, oh, not sure media's for me anymore. I might have a change of heart. And so I started looking into insurance.
So was it straight into insurance or did you kind of have a look around at other jobs as well?
It was kind of straight into insurance because my brother-in-law is an underwriting manager and my sister was a broker. And, you know, they'd come home and yes, it'd be hard. But I've just found what they were saying was quite interesting. And I was like, oh, I'd like to work in London. And so that's why I started looking into apprenticeships.
So do you think that helps then having people around you that have got the knowledge of insurance or do you think it's kind of a completely accessible market?
I speak to a lot of people and everyone knows someone in insurance, but a lot of people just fall into it. I don't think it's too difficult to get into.
And what would you recommend kind of if people haven't got those family members or friends they can talk to?
If you want to work in the city, work in London, you're going to be looking at insurance or banking or something like that. And it's just good to explore all your options. You know, you don't have to be tied to one thing. And that's kind of why I didn't go to university because there was no one thing that I wanted to study. So I just applied to a load of jobs and insurance took my fancy.
So do you think it was more important when you chose your A-levels then that you chose ones you enjoyed?
Yeah, because I think, you know, you're going to get more out of something that you enjoy. If I'm sitting there doing a subject and I'm just not enjoying it, your grades aren't going to be as good. And as long as you have good grades, when you're going into insurance, it doesn't really matter what the subjects are in, as long as you've achieved those levels.
So you mentioned you didn't go to university. Instead, you enrolled on an apprenticeship at Markel, where you're training as an underwriting assistant. So we'll go into a little bit about what your job actually involves in a bit. But for now, it'd be really interesting to hear your kind of rationale behind the decision not to go to uni. I know you mentioned earlier, kind of you didn't have a set thing you wanted to do. Was there anything else to it?
None of my family went to university.
Yeah.
I didn't really see, you know, there was nothing I wanted to study there. So I thought there was no point me essentially wasting the money on something that I didn't want to use in the future. When I was at school, I thought, no, like working is for me. You know, I had a part-time job all the way through school and I thought, no, I just want to get out there and start earning money.
Was that an easy decision to make though? Did you feel pressure from kind of your school at all to go to uni and was it going against the grain by not going to uni? Because I know a lot of people listening in kind of year 12 and 13 sort of age might feel it's the norm to go to uni. I've got to do that. That's what everyone else is doing.
Like the school did push me towards wanting to go to uni, but it just wasn't for me. And there wasn't really much about apprenticeships at the time and the school does tend to push university on you. You know, you say you don't want to go and they're like, just try and sign up for UCAS. But
yeah.
I think it is getting better with people coming in and giving you options. You know, they do after school, they'll put on people coming in. You know, I found that better.
And was it those careers fairs where you found out about apprenticeships or was that your own research?
So I found out about apprenticeships through the career people that came in, but I found the apprenticeship at Markel myself.
Yeah.
Literally just by going online.
Yeah.
And looking for apprenticeships or jobs in the insurance industry. And it's quite easy to find. And if you want it enough, then you will find it.
And that kind of application process as well, what was that like for you?
So it's quite, I don't want to say tough, but they do ask you a lot of questions and you have to put quite a lot of detail in there. And it is sort of, you know, if you're not successful on the application stage and we won't contact you again type thing. So, you know, you need to put a lot of information, a lot of detail. You need to make yourself sound like, you know, you really want it in there. And then I also had, so when I'd passed that stage, I went for an assessment centre and they ask you to do a presentation, group work, you get an individual interview and then you've got like a task at the end. So like writing an email, how would you respond to this, that and the other? It was tough, Yeah. And at that time, I was the only girl that was doing the assessment centre, so it was a bit daunting. But no, they made me feel comfortable.
And kind of going back to that, being the only girl at the assessment centre, is that something that you notice throughout the industry, or does it feel more equal? That was just kind of a one-off.
I mean, it is a very male industry, but I do think it's sort of levelling out. You know, they're trying to get more women involved, and a lot of us are young women as well. So introducing young people, introducing women, I think it's becoming a lot more even. Still a while to go.
But lots of initiatives in place to kind of get that change on the road. Perfect. So you're an underwriting assistant, which essentially means you provide support to underwriters when they're deciding whether to quote to a client. So could you tell us a little bit more about what your job actually does involve?
Yes, so an underwriting assistant, if you think back quite a few years, they would just be the admin person, copying papers, scanning things on, and it does still do that. You have to enter things and send them on to the underwriting support team to put through. But what I've found is that I also look at risks now, and I decide, you know, whether or not I want to write it, if I think it's a good one to look at. And I will then do the rating myself, think about the pros and cons, and I'll then refer it to the underwriter and say, you know, these are my thoughts, what do you think? And they'll say, yeah, that's fine. And I'll then be able to quote it to a broker, which I think is great. You're not going to progress if you're not able to be in contact with brokers.
And what class of business is that?
So I do financial institutions. So professional indemnity, that's basically for advice. So that'll be lawyers. If they give bad advice, then we'll cover them for that. Directors and officers, so that's if a claim is brought against a director of a company or the company as a whole, we'll then cover that. Crime, if there's been like any theft, and cyber. We do a bit of cyber if there's been like a ransomware attack or something like that. So we do those four under financial institutions. So we'll do it for like banks and fintech companies and stuff like that.
So what does a typical day at Markel look like for you?
Well, are we talking office? Are we talking home?
Both. Let's hear both answers.
Okay. I'll tell you about the office because I'm in the office at the minute. So I'll get in, I'll get myself a coffee and I'll log on. I'll flip through my emails, see what I've got to do for the day. I always find it helpful to keep a list of things that I need to do so that I don't fall behind, because when you fall behind, you're not going to be able to catch up again. Yeah. So I look at my list of what I need to do for the day. I'll have a look at some processing that needs to be done. That's like sending things to the underwriting support team. And then I'll start having a look at risks. Yeah. I will basically price them up, put my opinion down on paper and send it to the underwriter. We'll have a meeting or a discussion about it, and then I'm able to send that on. Do have quite a few meetings as well, whether that be team meetings or training. Quite a busy time.
Yeah. And then what about remotely?
I think when I'm at home, I get to go for a walk, which, you know, it's nice to travel into London, but obviously now I'm at home, I go for like a lunchtime walk, a morning walk.
You mentioned training there as well. Do you get a lot of training and support on your apprenticeship scheme?
Yes, so I got it on my apprenticeship scheme, and I actually do get it off of the apprenticeship as well, which, you know, I think is really good, because although I'm not on the scheme anymore, I'm still in the learning phase. The underwriters have said to me, even there's some things they're still learning. Exactly. Like, you're never going to stop learning. I would say always make notes, because you can't just sit there and listen. Like, you'll get it while you're there, but you'll walk away and think, oh, what was that? So always make notes is what I would say. But, you know, you can ask questions as you go along, because they say, like, no question's a silly question. And you can ask it as many times as you need to until you get it. So, yeah, I do find the training helpful.
I don't know about you. I've never had someone rudely respond to me when I've had a question. But you can sometimes feel a bit like, oh, I keep bothering this person. I must be so annoying. But it's so, so important that you keep going, because people would rather you ask the question than you made an assumption and then everything went wrong.
I do get what you mean, though. You do feel a bit like, oh, God, like I asked them something 5 minutes ago. Yeah. I don't want to ask them again. But, you know, they were you once.
Yeah.
You can't forget that. And, you know, they say, oh, a lot of it is on the job experience, like you exactly. learn while you're doing it. And they have been doing it for 20 years. And so they expect these questions to come from you. Otherwise, you're not learning anything.
Exactly. And like we said earlier as well, like, we're only young. This is the age to be learning and asking the questions. I love the don't ask, don't get mentality. That's really good. But what advice would you have for people that maybe haven't got that confidence to kind of put themselves out there as much?
I would say that, what's the worst they could say? No. Like, you might as well ask. And, you know, if they say no, then they say no. If they want to help you develop a bit more before you start getting to that stage, then they'll be able to put training and stuff in place for you. But there's nothing wrong with failing fast. You might as well fail early. You know, you're young. They expect you to be asking questions now.
Absolutely.
Rather than holding back and then, you know, asking the questions later and they think, well, why don't you know that already?
Are you working towards any qualifications?
So your Cert CII is, you know, your first qualification. The DIP is what you get afterwards. And if you want to go on, you can get the ACII. The Cert, they're multiple choice questions. So they're, you know, they're still quite thick books. But when you go into the exam, you know, they'll ask you a question. They'll give you four answers and you have to pick what best relates to that question. That's for your Cert. And then when you move on to your DIP, it's coursework as well as multiple choice questions. So for me, I mean, I like coursework because I like being able to type it up, go back and check it if I'm not happy with it. So yeah, half of it's coursework and half of it again is multiple choice question.
It must be quite a lot trying to do your exams alongside a full-time job, alongside networking, trying to balance everything. So how do you manage to fit it all in? Do you get support from work?
Yeah, so when I was on the apprenticeship, they had someone come in and do sessions with us.
Okay, like revision sessions.
Revision sessions with us, yeah. Which other people in the company, even though they weren't on a scheme, were allowed to come and attend if they were doing their exams as well,
okay.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's sort of dropped off a little bit because of the whole lockdown that we had. But I would say, especially closer to your exam date, do it in your lunchtime. I know you want to have a break, but do it in your lunchtime. And what I also found helpful was, say you log off at 5, rather than getting up and going to do something else, I would just stay where I was on the computer and revise for 2 hours because you're already in that mindset.
And I think as well, being open with your line manager or your team about kind of, I've got this exam coming up, setting your boundaries, I need to log off at 5 so that I've got time this afternoon to revise. And they should understand. Again, I've never had any issues with colleagues not understanding that we've also got exams on the side. Well, good luck with all your exams. I'm sure you did brilliantly.
Thanks.
The two most prominent roles within insurance are underwriting and broking. So what made you choose underwriting over broking?
I went for underwriting just because I like looking at it and deciding the sort of amount of cover that we want to give and deciding on the price for giving that. I think they're both really good roles to have though, and they're both sociable roles. The city is a sociable place. And you know, the thing is, if you go into one and you don't like it, you can change and go into the other because it's the same sort of thing. You know, you're interacting with brokers if you're an underwriter and you're interacting with underwriters if you're a broker.
So the city is definitely starting to open up again, but that is great. But the new normal for many will mean a job that's split between working from home and working from the office. So what advice have you got for someone that's about to start a new role and will be spending a lot of time working remotely?
So I've had a few friends of mine start working remotely. They've said, like, it has been difficult. It has been an adjustment, but they've felt quite welcome, you know. There's things such as Teams and Zoom and things like that that make it so much easier for you to try and form those connections because you can see the person face to face rather than just a phone call and you're wondering, who is this person?
Yeah.
I'd say try and get in as much as you can into the office because I know everything's starting to open up. But doing your job from home is not more difficult than doing it in the office.
Yeah.
It's just, again, it is the face to face that you don't get.
I think it's important as well to note that a job is more than just the work itself. And
like
you said earlier, the insurance industry is really social. Such a large part of the job is going for lunches or going for coffees with brokers or underwriters and kind of getting to know people, building relationships so that when you need a favour, you are already, you know that person well and they're willing to do you a favour on that occasion.
Or
even if it's not from a professional point of view, going for a drink with your colleagues after work, making friends with them so that you can get on with them in the office. And like little things like that make it much easier to perform your job well, which is hard when you're working remotely. So we're nearly at the end of the podcast. I just wanted to finish up by giving you the chance to tell our listeners why you love working in the industry so much and if you've got any advice for those looking to get started.
So I like working in the industry because I find it interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, some people do ask me what I do and when I say insurance, they're like, oh, can you get me a quote on my car insurance?
Tell me about it.
I can't, I'm sorry. And no, I do find it interesting. All the risks you look at are slightly different. That's what I like about it. And I also like the social side of it because, you know, once you log off from work, your time is your own. And, you know, you can go out after work. As we said earlier, you can network with people. Yeah, it's a good work-life balance.
Definitely. Right?
I would say try and get on LinkedIn because, you know, making connections is basically what the whole industry is about. And I think if you start early making the connections on LinkedIn, then I think that's going to help you in the long run.
Thank you so much, Danny. It's been really great having you on.
Thanks for having me.
And if you want to get in touch with Danny for further advice, we will leave her contact details in the description box. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to catching you next time on London Insurance Life and Industry for Everyone. We'll be right back.